Wolf, and Luke.
Who are you?
Okay, then.
Ron Wolfley.
Ron Wolfley. What is up? Witch Buster extraordinaire. Love that guy.
Luke Lipinski.
He sounds pretty good. He sounds pretty articulate.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It is a big day today for a lot of reasons. Welcome into the Wolf and Luke Show on this Thursday morning. Wolf, if I could offer you two wishes on your big day, okay?
Oh, no. No, not the big day thing.
Well, but you only get to choose one of the wishes.
Okay.
You could have, well, maybe you get both. The Coyotes start their season, or you could have the Dodgers get eliminated.
Okay, I would have to say the Dodgers being eliminated. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Because you can just start the season the next day.
I got to go with that one right there, honestly. Do not want to see the Dodgers actually advance. No way. Get eliminated right now. Today is the day, is it not?
I will say this. I think if they're going to get eliminated, today is the day.
Yes.
Because they're facing a San Francisco team that's played them well, and they're facing Logan Webb, who's pitched very well against them this season. And I probably would still lean the Dodgers if you made me pick, but they could be done tonight. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. I appreciate that, man. 59 is no way to go through life, especially when you're fat. Cheeks are a little full. Who cares?
John Skelton here, wishing my friend Ron Wolfley a happy birthday.
Big Red Skelton, of course. That was awesome right there, John Skelton. What a great guy he was.
Here, actually.
And is, by the way.
He's still being that good guy.
Yes, I'm just saying, as a Cardinal, of course.
I think, honestly, what you would probably most like on your birthday is to talk about how to beat the Cleveland Browns.
You know what, honestly, what a beautiful thing this would be right here. The Cleveland Browns, of course, 2 years that I actually spent there in Cleveland. I think of that immediately, 1992 and 1993 with Bill Belichick and how difficult that was. And Nick Saban, of course, as the defensive coordinator. This staff that was absolutely loaded. If you go back and look at the staff, Scotty O'Brien, the legendary Scotty O'Brien, was the special teams coach for the Cleveland Browns and Bill Belichick all the way back then.
Wow.
Yes, I mean Scotty O, and of course Nick Saban walking around like Nick was the baddest man on the face of the planet. Nick Saban and I never got along, let's put it that way. I won't go into detail on it, I don't need to, but my memories of Cleveland and the unbelievable experience of the dog pound was truly incredible. Not only against it, because that's where my very first NFL game was played. Luke.
Yeah, I remember that.
NFL game was played in Cleveland, regular season game in Cleveland. We beat them in overtime, 27-24 in Cleveland. So I've played against the dog pound, of course, and with the dog pound. And the dog pound truly is one experience that I will not soon forget.
Probably not. I'm still trying to wrap my head around a coaching staff with Bill Belichick and Nick Saban at the same time.
It wasn't a lot of fun.
No, probably not.
I'll tell you that much, and it's one of the reasons why I love Bill Belichick to this day, sociopath that he is, and I say that affectionately about him because he did not try to pretend to motivate you in any way, shape, or form. He did not try to pretend he was your friend. He didn't care about getting to know you. He didn't want to know who your wife was. He didn't want to know who your family was.
What were birthdays like playing for Bill Belichick? Big deal, I'm assuming.
Birthdays, nothing, of course. Nothing. I mean, I absolutely love the fact that all he wanted you to do was your job. That was it. The biggest takeaway I have about Bill Belichick, do your job.
Well,
the
Cardinals' job this weekend is going to center on stopping Cleveland's running attack. Now, Nick Chubb is questionable for this game, but when he plays, I don't know, in terms of pure running backs, top three in the league? I mean, it's Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb,
I'm telling you right now, Luke, it's interesting you bring this up because I watch it on tape right now. It is Nick Chubb and Derrick Henry and everybody else.
Yeah, he's old school.
They are right there. They are right there. And what's so fascinating about this going into this game, this is the key to the game against the Cleveland Browns coming up this Sunday. The Arizona Cardinals have to outscore the Cleveland Browns, Ron Wolfley reporting. But guess what? They have to do it in a way that Cleveland cannot use its rushing attack to stay in the game. They've got to get out. They've got to put so much pressure on the Cleveland Brown offense that they have to get out of their balanced offense. That is the key to the Cleveland Browns and their offense with Baker Mayfield.
I like my chances against Baker Mayfield. I like my chances with the Cardinals against Baker Mayfield and him and those receivers trying to trade points with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green and all those pieces. I don't love a game where it's just time of possession is like 40-20 and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt each have like 20 touches. I don't love that scenario.
Luke, this is one of those rare, rare games in the National Football League where your best defense is your offense. Going out and actually getting the Cleveland Browns out of their balanced offense, out of their three-dimensional offense with Baker Mayfield. You've got to make Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns one-dimensional. How do you do that? You put so much pressure with your offense, scoring points, your offense moving the ball, your offense moving the sticks, your offense scoring touchdowns in the red zone. You put so much pressure on the Cleveland Browns and their offense to throw the ball and keep up with your offense that it takes them out of their game. And their game is balance. They want to be a balanced team. They want to run the ball. They want Baker Mayfield to be in that balanced three-dimensional offense. You got to make him one-dimensional. That's not an easy task against the Cleveland Browns with their box. Their front seven is very, very good, in particular if you're trying to run the ball. But, man, I'll tell you what, it is the onus is on the offense to go out and protect their defense.
Well, Corey Peters did speak yesterday. I know he's on the defense, but he did speak about Nick Chubb specifically. And again, Nick Chubb is questionable. Even if he can't play, they have Kareem Hunt. But if he does play, you're talking about one of the most dynamic running back duos in football.
Well, I think with just players in general, it's not often that you find somebody that has all the tools. And Nick Chubb is a powerful guy. He's got good speed. He's got good balance, good vision, good understanding of how running the ball works, setting up blocks and things like that. So I think that's really the challenge. He's just such a well-rounded back. And we got to get a lot of people to him. He breaks a lot of tackles on tape. And we really have a lot of respect for both of those running backs. So we know we have our hands full, and it's going to be a great challenge for us.
He is so difficult to tackle in the open field because he's so thick. This guy is a fire hydrant with eyebrows. This try to get underneath him. I'm trying. Right now, if you watch the tape, you could just see it. Guys are unsure as to how they should best go about tackling Nick Chubb and how they approach him as well. And might I say, there are some dudes who look like they're turning it down, if you know what I mean.
That's a good way to lose snaps out there. I mean, at least the Cardinals have a rookie linebacker and another linebacker just in his second year that are going to probably be willing to do anything they can to make sure they stay on the field.
And you know what's so cool about it? Kareem Hunt is such a changeup because he's 5'11", 220. Okay, 5'11", 220. But he's more horizontal. Kareem Hunt, the thing that's cool about Kareem Hunt, he will dip and rip on you. He will definitely do that from time to time. But he's more about the horizontal and using a little bit more speed, I think, than Nick Chubb has to get the edge and get around horizontally. So he's more of a three-dimensional type back who can go left, who can go right, or run you over, where I think Nick Chubb is more two-dimensional for the most part.
Week 6 of the NFL season kicks off tonight, and there's still time to sign up for Bick's Picks. So text Pick to 620-620 to sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance, the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill courtesy of Modelo Especial. Weekly winners will receive a $100 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. So text Pick to 620-620 to enter. Coming up, how does the Suns owner feel about DeAndre Ayton's contract situation? We'll react to what Robert Sarver had to say next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
FM, Arizona's Sports Station. A middle seat in coach. A first-class reclining suite with bottle service. Wolf and Luke.
Well, we talked about the Suns yesterday, and I think at one point, Wolf, you were like, you know, if you could just ask Robert Sarver like one question, what would it be?
Yeah.
Either you said that or I just imagined that. Are we going to get to the point where, like, when you have a thought, is that thought going to be your voice in my head?
Yeah.
Because we were doing the show so much.
You know what? I think it's going to take a little bit longer.
Okay.
It's going to take some time.
But that is going to happen at some point.
That's good. At some point it will, yes.
Well, Burns and Gambo had that opportunity. They had Robert Sarver on yesterday, talked to him for a little while, and... You know what? I'm just going to fire off as much of this as I can, and we can react to it. We'll start with this. When they asked him for an update on contract discussions with DeAndre Ayton or Mikal Bridges.
I can't blame you for asking, but, you know, as you know, we never negotiate or discuss personnel issues publicly. It's just not fair to the players. It wouldn't be fair to James or to our fans.
Because that, I would say that's expected.
Yeah.
Like it would have been great if Sarver came on and was like, breaking news, guys.
Yes.
We just got this done.
Right, exactly.
But that's not what happened.
It certainly is not fair to the players. There's no doubt about that. But, oh, my goodness. You know, honestly, right now, do you think you just break us? Give us a little something right there. It's not fair to the player, of course, but maybe you just want to go ahead and drop us a nugget.
Just pick one of the players. Just be fair to the other one.
He's right about that. It's not fair to the player.
But they did ask him point blank, do you want to get a deal done with DeAndre Ayton?
Yeah, I mean, if we can get something that works for both sides, we definitely would. And, you know, as you know, in restricted free agency, sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, getting a deal done a year early is a little more challenging than getting a deal done at the beginning of a season.
That's interesting.
How so?
Sarver has conveyed with this entire topic the sense of like, yeah, you know, want to get it done, but if it doesn't get done by Monday, it can still get done just next offseason.
Right.
And that's sort of, he reiterates it right there. I mean, I do keep coming back to that as part of when I'm trying to figure out the logic of this, why you're not paying him now if you're just going to have to pay him next summer anyway, and are you risking him getting disgruntled in that time and then you've got to pay him? But, I mean, there is some truth to the, hey, you know, you guys are all freaking out. We can still wait a year. We have all the leverage.
Yeah,
and that seems to be the owner's viewpoint on this.
It does seem to be the owner's viewpoint on it, and it also seems to be the front office's viewpoint on it. Now, again, is that shocking? I don't think so. Have front offices and general managers aligned their opinion with the owner's opinion? Of course. In high-level meetings sitting around the big rectangle where it's just you guys sitting there? Yes, of course. That has happened before in the past, and it won't be, and it will, I should say, happen again, of course, going forward. But for the most part here, I think the Suns are on the same page when it comes to the front office and Robert Sarver. And again, this is my question. It is something that I wish I knew the truth on, because you have to start there. You have to, with the James Jones and Robert Sarver, and if they're on the same page, if they totally agree with this and how they're handling this going forward. I'm talking about behind the scenes, what kind of argument, or are they just absolutely copacetic?
It's interesting. I will say this. If we didn't have news from any of the other teams, like if we didn't know what was going on around the league, if we were just in a bubble and you're looking at this, I don't think I'd feel the sense of urgency for them to get something done with Ayton.
Yeah.
I would just be like, yeah, whatever. He's a restricted free agent next year. Nobody can pay him more than you can. You'll just,
right.
You know, it is, I think, a lot of the influence, at least for me, is the other guys that have gotten paid. And it's not Luka and it's not Trae Young, you know, because you knew they were going to get max deals.
Yes.
But it's the other guys from Ayton's draft class. And he even said that the other day when he was like, I just want to be respected like my peers, basically.
Yes.
Well, his peers are not. I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think DeAndre Ayton's looking around saying, okay, Giannis is my peer and this guy's my peer. I think he's probably looking at the guys in his draft class.
Yes.
And so when those stories came out, and it really, I mean, I don't think it's coincidence that all this conversation took off once Michael Porter Jr. got his max deal. But it is funny to think, like, if we just didn't know that stuff, I wouldn't be stressed out about this at all. I'd be fine. I'll just get him next year. Who cares?
You were talking about, you know what, that I was saying that if there was one question I could ask Robert Sarver, what would that one question be? And that is the question right there. If I knew the truth to one thing again, maybe not even asking Robert Sarver, but knew the truth, it would be, are you on the same page, you and James Jones? Is James Jones actually on the same page? Did he convince you, or you've convinced him? Are you both on the same page in regard to proceeding like this with DeAndre Ayton in the max contract, because that to me would explain so much. If in fact, what if James Jones, hypothetically speaking right here, what if James Jones and the Suns front office, man, they want nothing to do with it. We want to go ahead and sign him to a max contract, Robert, right now. We want to do that, but you're the one who won't do it. Oh, you know what? Well, publicly, of course, it's called PR for a reason. Publicly, we're going to be on the same page here, and we're going to say that we're working in unison.
I know why that perception, I get why people have that perception of Sarver, and I'm not trying to sit here and say that's not the case, but I just have to think in this scenario, this is just my opinion.
Yes.
I maybe it's just me hoping.
Yes.
I don't think Robert Sarver is preventing them from paying DeAndre Ayton. In this particular case, with all the goodwill around this team and how close they were to winning a title, and the fact that for a decade, Sarver experienced the lack of goodwill around the team. The team was bad. The fans mostly blamed him. I think they were right in a lot of instances. But also, you know, that reputation builds, and now something like this happens. And you've seen, I mean, you look at the comments on any story, what we're hearing from people, comments on and anything on social media, and even nationally. I mean, Deadspin had a story out there yesterday that was DeAndre Ayton doesn't have a deal because the Suns are cheap.
Yes.
That's going to be the perception.
If that is the truth right there, that the Suns are cheap and it's Robert Sarver, and that's the reason why he doesn't have a max contract right now, I'm concerned big time.
But I guess I'm saying I don't think that's the case here in this particular instance.
So you do believe that James Jones is on the same page right there. See, that is the one truth that I would love answered. If I could possibly get any question answered, that is the one truth I would like to hear.
I will say this, if I'm wrong, and again, this is just kind of like, I'm just trying to piece this together. If it is because the Suns are being cheap, that's horrible. Because then you're never going to get fixed if you're going to be cheap after you almost just won a title. If it really is like, nah, I don't want to pay him, then you're going to have a problem because you're not going to want to pay him next year either.
So once again, hypothetically, what would it mean if, in fact, James Jones was on the same page as Robert Sarver in this regard, saying we're not going to pay a max contract to DeAndre Ayton. We want him to go out and prove it one more year. What if, in fact, what does it say?
Arizona Sports. Breaking news.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry, guys, but according to ESPN's Dan Graziano, per source, there have been 3 positive COVID tests reported with the Arizona Cardinals this week, leading to increased testing for several players and personnel. The team is not yet required to move to intensive protocols, but one more positive test would put them there.
Okay, then.
Okay, it's just getting worse.
Wow, that's
right now. It's not shaping up well.
That's this is not.
And that's the
like
reason why the Arizona Cardinals will ball out on Sunday. You watch. It's not shaping up well. People are dropping like flies. When their back is against the wall, when it looks like it's a lost cause, that's when more guys, seemingly so than not, rally and go out and ball out. We'll see.
What is intensive protocols? What is like the...
I don't even know what to say about that, Luke. I mean, I'm done trying to be a COVID-19 expert, by the way.
That sounds like an action movie, intensive protocol. I would much prefer it was an action movie than this.
I just want to say this quickly to finish our conversation in regard to Robert Sarver and the Suns and why it's so critical. See, to me, if James Jones is on the same page as Robert Sarver, it says to me that James Jones has already talked with the guys inside the locker room. Because that's his mentality. It is. And it tells me that this is going to be okay. Because James Jones is on the same page. And James Jones would not be on the same page knowing what it could do to a locker room. It could just put a schism right down that locker room immediately. A distraction you cannot overcome. And James Jones knows it. So if he's on the same page as Robert Sarver, that tells me that that locker room gets it.
Here's more from Sarver in terms of the luxury tax.
I won't necessarily speak for the league as a whole in terms of having to pay a luxury tax to win a championship, but in terms of our roster, the way we're configured and the way our contracts are lined up, we will be paying the luxury tax next year.
So doesn't that sort of doesn't that sort of reinforce the idea that it's not a money issue? It's more a we're not sure he's worth it issue. If you're already saying we're going to be paying the luxury tax next year. And I understand some of this, like you said, is PR. Like, it's we're $3 over, so we're going to pay luxury tax. Like, okay, well, some teams are going $70 million over. So I know that there's a gray area in there. And again, I understand, like, there's a ton of Suns fans like, okay, why are you giving Sarver the benefit of the doubt? I'm not necessarily giving him the benefit of the doubt. I just think maybe there's more to this one specific situation with DeAndre Ayton than just, I don't want to pay him. Because when you drafted him, wasn't the best case scenario, we're going to have to pay him?
Yeah, of course.
Otherwise, why even draft him?
James Jones, once again, holds the key. The secret, if you could answer one question, it would be that, honestly. Because he knows what's going on inside that locker room. That's a big deal.
I'm sure he'd tell us everything, wouldn't he?
Oh, I doubt it.
No.
Especially you.
Not even worth calling him. Hey, he knows Max. Maybe we get Max to call him. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, after being limited in practice yesterday, how concerned should we be about Kyler Murray's shoulder being an issue this week or maybe even beyond? We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hi, this is Kyler Murray, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
He's hot today, Chase. The thing's coming out clean today.
I don't know what he did this offseason, but, you know, the ball's coming out with a lot more zip on it.
I've always said I think we're just scratching the surface with what he can do as far as dynamic as a runner, tremendous thrower.
He's a human highlight reel, man. The way the ball comes out of his hand and how he spins it, man, is unbelievable.
You're seeing super next-level stuff where he's fitting certain balls and certain crosses right into these tight windows that you wouldn't think is possible.
Why are you walking? Why are you walking?
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
All right, in case you're just joining us, the tweet from Dan Graziano before talking about the Cardinals. Per source, three positive COVID tests reported with the Cardinals this week, leading to increased testing for several players and personnel. Team not yet required to move to intensive protocols, but one more positive test would put them there. So, I mean, I think I'm with you on this, Wolf. I'm tired of trying to pretend I'm a scientist or a doctor.
Yeah.
But everything I've heard is that all the Cardinals are vaccinated. And Graziano did just tweet out, as a reminder, fully vaccinated player who tests positive may return to the team. If he tests negative twice within 24 hours between tests, shows no symptoms, and is cleared by doctors to return.
Yes.
So this could not be an issue on Sunday, but also it is Thursday.
Yeah, no, you're right. We'll have to wait and see. It just right now, knowing that yesterday I heard that Chandler Jones was actually, he was symptomatic. And if, in fact, he's symptomatic, now all of a sudden you worry about that stuff because, obviously, if he's symptomatic, that means he's going to miss this week coming up for the most part. But, yeah, you know what? I don't know what intensive means after that, the protocols either. I don't know. They get a fourth. Now, all of a sudden, it's intense. What does that mean right there? But we'll find out by the end of this show. As a matter of fact, we've got our crack staff on it right now.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't even realize that.
Yes.
That's why all those people are running around in circles outside the window.
That's exactly what it is right there. Find out what that means.
All right. I'm going to float this at you. Kyler Murray was limited in practice yesterday. And I'm looking at a tweet from Darren Urban saying a lot of guys back at practice during the open portion today, which includes Byron Murphy and Marco Wilson. So that's very... Let's focus on the positive here, Wolf. There's a good one. Byron Murphy and Marco Wilson, both back at the open portion of practice today.
Okay.
He said the ones, again, this is Darren Urban, the ones he didn't see, and this is not like reporting these guys aren't going to play or anything, but he didn't see Hopkins, Jordan Hicks, Tanner Vallejo, or obviously Rodney Hudson, who isn't playing this weekend already, according to Cliff Kingsbury.
But you're telling me the corners are back. They're back out on the field.
I'm telling you that Darren Urban is telling us.
Yeah, there you go. That's, you know what, Herb, this guy is tapped in. This guy knows. This guy's a fact checker right there, Darren Urban.
It would not shock me if he lives at the Cardinals training facility.
Yes, he
does.
Like
he has a home there.
Of course, yes.
The Kyler Murray thing, we don't have like a firm update today on his status. The injury report comes out later in the day. But yesterday he was listed on there and it was as limited. This is not like a veteran player that takes Wednesdays off. You can't really have a quarterback do that anyway. He was listed as limited and it got me thinking. So we talked about how concerned should we be for this week. Like, I don't think he's going to miss this week. I don't think he's going to have issues. But I want to get your thought on this, Wolf. I haven't brought this up to you yet. You did go out and get Colt McCoy in the offseason.
Yeah.
If Kyler Murray goes out there and he plays this week, but he doesn't look like Kyler Murray and you can tell he's limited, and you're in a situation where the team doctors are like, you know, if he just had a week or two off, he'd be 100%,
yeah,
or, you know, as close as anybody is. I'd almost be willing next week against Houston to just be like, all right, Colt, you're in there. If you're gonna, if you can guarantee me a full strength Kyler Murray for the last, whatever that would be, 10-9 games of the season, you're 5-0. You do have a game to play with, and Colt McCoy should be able to beat Houston anyway.
Yeah. Here is my concern right here. It is the fact that they're playing the Cleveland Browns going into this week right now, and you've got Kyler Murray showing up on the injury report as limited. What does that mean? What does that entail? I do not know, but I do know it means he wasn't full. He wasn't a full go right there. And we've seen in the past, of course, when Kyler Murray has had an issue and he has been banged up. Now, listen, to his credit, this man has started all 37 yep. games, all 37 games that he could possibly start. He started every one of them.
Which I'm sure is a point of pride, because that was a knock on him.
Yes.
Not even because he hadn't played enough in college, but just because it was like, oh, he's going to get hurt too easily. And he's been good at surviving on the field and then playing through pain. But the second half of last season, and I'm not pinning this on Kyler Murray, he was covering up a lot of weaknesses, I think, on this team during the first half of last season.
Yes.
In the second half, they were all exposed because he was playing hurt. And I know there's the mentality, you got to be out there and you got to lead and you got to play hurt. And I totally get that. I'm just saying, if he doesn't look right this week, and internally they're like, you know, if he just had a week off, he'd be back to being Kyler Murray, then I have a backup quarterback I could throw sure. out there for 1 week.
Sure. My problem, though, once again, is the Cleveland Browns and their pass rush and just how good their pass rush is. You're talking about one of the best pass rushing teams in the National Football League. You look at the tape that supports that comment right there. You look at the numbers that supports that comment as well. You put the two together, you are what you are. And the Cleveland Browns are elite when it comes to getting after a quarterback and knocking them down. It's a tough proposition right now. You better put Kyler Murray in a balanced offense. You better put him in an offense where you're running the football as well, trying to run the football. Now, again, you also have to try to win the game any way that you possibly can. The secondary right now for the Cleveland Browns is all banged up.
Yeah.
It is a banged up mess right now, their secondary in particular. So that invites you to saying, hey, you know, are you good, mate? Have you seen our 10 personnel? Have you seen our four wide receivers? What do you say we put four wide receivers out there? Ding, 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 touchdown, right? Just run.
Which
just
they absolutely can do.
Which they could possibly do. That is one of the most interesting things going into this game. I want to see how they use Kyler Murray. He's going to play. Right now, he's going to play.
Oh, yeah. I'm not worried about him playing
exactly.
this week. It's just more, I don't want a repeat of what happened in the second half of last season.
Correct.
Because we're like, you got to gut it out every week, Kyler. Like,
yes.
And again, if it's one of those things where taking a week off isn't really going to help anyway, then you got to gut it out.
Especially against this team,
yes.
once again, that is so capable of getting after a quarterback and knocking him to the ground.
Number 3 in the NFL in sacks, Cleveland with 16. Obviously, Myles Garrett leads the NFL in sacks with 7. So, yes, 100% to your point, they can get after a quarterback. When you look at the sack numbers, though, and some of these pass rushing stats, for an opposing team facing Kyler Murray, don't you sort of have to take it with a grain of salt? Because most quarterbacks they're facing aren't Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Like just the way you would attack
yeah,
him.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. But I think, you know, once again, it's a good metric overall. If you go sacks per attempt, I think it's a much better metric than just sacks straight up. It gives you a better idea as to how many quarterbacks they're getting to and how many quarterbacks are actually knocking down for the most part.
The only
for me
stat I have in front of me is sacks. I wrote it out with my own crayons, so that's all I have.
Well, of course,
keep it as simple as possible.
Stay in between the lines, will you please?
No, that's what they want you to do. This is Kyler Murray on that Browns defense.
Like Coach said, I mean, this is probably one of the most talented teams that we're going to face individually. You know, they got a lot of guys, you know, their names and stuff like that. So really athletic defense. Probably got, you know, Miles. I grew up playing against him. He's a specimen. You know, they got a lot of guys surrounding him. So we're going to definitely have to, you know, execute at a high level in order to move the ball, score touchdowns. So looking forward to the challenge, though.
Yeah, you know what? Again, Kyler Murray is going to play. I'm not worried about that at all. I think he's going to go out and he's going to play his 38th consecutive game for the Arizona Cardinals. But how you go about your business offensively, it is huge, and it does matter. And I think trying to put him in a balanced approach, a balanced offense, is the best way to actually do it. Now, that means, though, once again, that you've got to score points. You got to go out and score points. You've got to get the Cleveland Browns and make Baker Mayfield a one-dimensional quarterback. That should be the best defense the Arizona Cardinals are going to have is their offense.
Yeah, maybe put your team in a position where your defense can maybe make a couple game-changing plays because you know Baker Mayfield's going to have to force it. You jump up on them by 17 or something.
Even without Chandler Jones, the strength of the Arizona Cardinals defense has been their pass defense,
yeah,
not their rush defense.
Of course, now the complicating factor here is we don't know yet who the other positive tests on the Cardinals are.
Exactly.
I mean, are they all pass rushers?
Point.
Who knows?
Right.
All right. Win a pair of tickets to the Phoenix Suns home opener. Just text TICKET to 620-620 and listen for your name next Monday during the 7 a.m., 12 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours for your chance to win Suns home opener tickets. It's the return of the hottest tickets in town presented by FanDuel. Coming up, ASU and Utah are the only remaining undefeated teams in Pac-12 conference play. They will meet this weekend. Just how big is this matchup for shaping the entire rest of the Pac-12 season? It's pretty big. The Wolf and Luke Show is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Yeah, big one coming up for ASU this weekend. I know in college football, if your team is half decent, you can always say, oh, it's a big game coming up. I got a big one here. This one is going to really determine the entire course of the Pac-12 South the rest of the season. Maybe the Pac-12, Wolf, because the game against Utah, if the Sun Devils win, we sort of detailed this yesterday, or earlier in the week, I should say. If they win that game, their buffer zone over the rest of the teams in the Pac-12 South is huge with only 5 games to go, where they could definitely afford a loss after, not to Utah, but in those last 5 games, maybe even afford 2, because you'd be a game up on Utah and UCLA. You'd have the tiebreaker on them if they caught you, and they still play each other, and both those teams play Oregon. ASU does not have Oregon on the schedule this year, so you put yourself not just in the driver's seat, like you're in the driver's seat and everybody's running behind the car if you win the game in Utah this week, but winning in Utah is not easy.
Yes.
That's the one detail.
Yeah, it is. It's a difficult proposition, but I have to wonder how Herm Edwards is framing this up for his team. I really do wonder about this. What is he doing? Is he trying to pass it off as, guys, this is who we are. It's just another game. It is just another game on our schedule right here. Or is he trying to highlight the fact that we have an opportunity right here to seize control of the Pac-12 South?
Well, and you know,
which way is he going on that? That's what I'd like to know.
You know, Herm is so good at delivering his message, but you're right. What does he want that message to be? Do you want your guys too hyped up for this game going into a hostile environment?
Listen, Luke, this is what a head coach does at the college level. This is what he does so much of the time. He gets his team right mentally. What is the mentality going into this game? How am I going to frame this for you? I mean, I cannot tell you over and over and over again how many times Don Nalen, and it wasn't just Don Nalen, I know this is the way that it goes for everybody that is out there trying to coach 18 and 19-year-olds. You're trying to get their attention. You're trying to get their focus, increase their concentration level. And the way you do that is many, many times you use metaphors. Many times you'll get up and you'll actually use props in trying to, how are you trying to frame this game? It's a big part of what the head coach does, and that is my question. How is Herm trying to frame this game?
Well, he said a couple things earlier this week. One, and I know you're going to like this, and I like this too in this case because ASU is so good at running the football. Utah's rush defense is 50th, so it's like, you know, whatever. It's just middle of the pack. ASU's run on much better rush defenses this season. And Herm said flat out, look, even if it's not working at times, we're sticking with it.
A lot of times people give up on it. I think what we've been able to do is we don't give up on it. We just continue to try to run, and eventually, if you do that, it's going to pay dividends for you. That's just my history with it, being a former player in the league and then coaching in the league. You realize that, and I just think that the more you stick to it, it'll pay dividends for you, and thus far this year it has.
See, this is something that ASU has done this year that they it just doesn't feel like they normally do or typically do. It feels like in years past they've had that loss, like that BYU loss, which, you know, again, looking back, they lost to a top 25 team. If you're a committee choosing who goes to a bowl, or if you're just evaluating college teams, ASU has one loss. It was on the road to a top 25 team.
And once again, they beat themselves.
Yeah, well, that's...
Went out there, turned the ball over, and had how many penalties? It was ridiculous.
That's where it gets frustrating. And 16, by the way, no big deal. Just 16 penalties. But what ASU doesn't tend to do, it feels like, is to have a game like that and then respond. It seems like in years past, like, they'd have a game like that, and it was like, all right, that's kind of the season then. We had our sights set on this goal, and we can't get it. Instead, they realized, hey, wait, the Pac-12 South is still very much there, and Wolf, they've won their last three games by pretty much three scores, all three of them. The fact that they're able to take care of business these last 3 weeks, where they really haven't been that stressful of a game, if you're a fan, I do think that comes back to the run and just the attack that they have. It's old school football in the sense that they have three running backs they can run with, and their defense has been one of the best in college football outside that BYU game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is what Utah is going to do. You know it. I know it. We all know it. Utah's going to line up. They're going to try to run the ball. They're going to do that. And the fact that the Utah Utes defensively aren't great at stopping the run, that to me is something ASU has got to take advantage of. You got to hammer the box. You got to do that, especially when you've got a guy like Trainum. I don't know exactly what the situation is with Chip Trainum. To me, in the last game, I thought that ASU moved away from him a little bit in that last game, and I was a little surprised at that, because I think once again going forward, Rashad White and Chip Trainum, that is the 1-2 punch they really need in this offense and need to develop this offense if they have hopes of doing anything in a postseason format.
Yeah, Trainum had that fumble, and then we just kind of didn't hear much from him. He had 9 carries for 50 yards. I'm going to operate under the assumption that is just he was a little bit banged up earlier in the season, because I haven't really heard anything this week of like, oh, he's hurt now.
Exactly.
So maybe it was just like, hey, you know, he's running good, but we don't need to run him into the ground. They had that Stanford game in control, and you have Rashad White and Daniel Nagata, so you don't have to go away from the run. You know, some teams it's like, our running back's banged up, but how are we going to run? Well, ASU can just sit him for a half, basically. That's essentially what they did on Friday, and just say, okay, we'll run with the other guys.
Yeah, he's just missed some time already. You know, that was the question.
That's concerning, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, to me, I really don't understand that, but I do know this. I love the fact ASU is built on the line of scrimmage. That's where they start, even with the likes of Jaden Daniels. That's where they start, on the line of scrimmage.
And, you know, we talked about this going into the Stanford game last week, and you said it a few times. You know, Stanford's run defense is terrible, and you know, my thought was, okay, you don't have to overcomplicate it. ASU, if you can run, and you can, and Stanford can't stop the run, just run. And they did. They ran for 255 yards. They were up just under 200 at halftime.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is what we do really well, and you can't stop it. All right, we'll just do that and take the win and move on to next week.
Exactly.
I like that ASU has not overcomplicated things this year. Saying that, even though I know that they're being investigated, they haven't overcomplicated things since the season has started. How's that?
Yeah, that is the unbelievable part about this whole story, how uncomplicated that violation was. I still, honestly, right now, I am having a hard time justifying that. I am. Whenever we talk ASU, the fact that you're telling me during a dead period you are actually bringing people in, at least that is the allegation that is out there, and it seems like there's a lot of evidence that is out there supporting it. It just seems like a really, really dumb thing to do.
I long for the days when we don't have to say the phrases NCAA investigation or intensive COVID protocols when talking about sports.
Intensive protocols, please.
Yeah, I'm don't want to know what it means, but I think I need to know what it means just in case for the Cardinals. All right, coming up, how's the Cardinals' offense change without Max Williams at tight end? They also don't have Rodney Hudson. Which one makes a bigger difference? 15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander will join us for the lowdown next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.